It's HSK Today.
SA made by Patera with the right pad.
A weekly in-depth look at the Henderson Silver Knights.
Morelli left wing. Richard scores!
And the AHL.
2 seconds and one. The Silver Knights hang on.
With your hosts, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo.
And here we go on a Wednesday afternoon, HSK Today. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here, you there, Joe Costa on the other side of the glass as we talk horse hockey. The Silver Knights finally ready to get back to home ice, a five-game homestand that will start Friday night against the Tucson Roadrunners, the first of two against the Roadrunners. And for the Silver Knights, welcome to the home stretch. There are 20 games remaining in the regular season. The Silver Knights have some work to do to push their way back into playoff positioning. We shall discuss, talk a little bit about this past weekend in Colorado, where the Silver Knights were held off the score sheet in both games against the Colorado Eagles. Part of that, the work of Ivan Prosvita between the pipes, but also for the Silver Knights, there have been some roster challenges in the last couple of weeks with call-ups and injuries combined, so we'll talk about that as well. And in our second segment, Dyson Mayo will join us. We'll catch up with the veteran defenseman who actually, it's been 1 year and 6 days now, I believe. So he missed his anniversary, but 1 year and 6 days ago that he was added, the VGK traded for him from the Arizona Coyotes, which can also dovetail into it is trade deadline time. We won't get super-duper in the weeds with it, but we'll chat a little bit about some of those names that could be on the move as well and have some fun towards the latter end of the show. On a busy Wednesday, and Justin, for the Silver Knights, good for them to be back home as they are now two games under the 500 mark. They went under 500 for the first time this season on Friday night in Colorado, and it was a pair of games where the Silver Knights had a hard time generating. Much, much better in Saturday than Friday, but the same result.
Yeah, a lot of new guys in the lineup, too, over the weekend. We saw Ty Pelton, Bice, Carson Folk signed a PTO, so guys trying to get up to speed over the weekend in Colorado against a tough team at Blue Arena. They're really tough at home. We know how that home crowd brings the energy. We know how they feed off of that at home. And, you know, the Friday game, only 15 shots on goal, the lowest the Silver Knights have had this season. I think you look at the Friday game and going into Saturday, there was a lot of improvement. 27 shots on goal, the chances were up a little bit, and defensively they hunkered down a little bit as well, only allowing two goals to Colorado. So the game was a lot tighter, but still the offensive struggles carrying over from Friday and really from last Sunday in Coachella Valley, where they only got one goal on the board.
Silver Knights have been shut out now. It's three times in their last five games, and now seven times for the season. And for the HSK, eight times for the season. For the HSK, I think it was interesting to hear Ryan Craig after the game on Saturday. He was happy with how the team played defensively in their own end. And they generated some chances. It's a 2-0 game. It was within reach. They defended well. Physically, they were solid. And it just shows you how important it is for the Silver Knights at some point to get some guys back, whether it be from the call-up side of the aisle with the VGK, which is going to happen in its own time. That's not going to be something you can forecast. The VGK's ready when they're ready, if at all. On the injured side of the ledger, where the Silver Knights have been without Adam Cracknell for several weeks, and that's a big hole for them. But, you know, I think when you see how well they played defensively, Yuri Patera and Isaiah Seville were terrific both nights. You can bring players in from Savannah. You can bring players in on PTOs and put them to work in a system, even on quick film session. Hey, here's how we handle this, you know. And playing good defensively is smarts and instincts and willingness. Goal scoring is different. And goal scoring, if everyone could do it, everyone would score 40. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to get players at that level, I mean, it's who you're relying on, but when you're trying to get those people added to your lineup to be the driving force in a game that you lose 4-0, well, that's a hard night to get five.
Yeah.
So it's important for the Silver Knights to have a lot of outings where they're giving up 1-2 to keep that in reach. But, you know, I think the number we looked up that was just, it just is what it is. The Silver Knights have scored 136 goals this season. 85 of those 136 have been scored by players that are either currently injured or called up. So for the Silver Knights, who need to start finding ways to win, and again, we're going to talk about it a little bit, who might be coming back into the fold, but largely this weekend's roster is going to look a lot like last weekend's. Got to find ways to score, whether that's Grigory Denisenko, whether that's Tyler Benson. Defensively, the Silver Knights, I think, will be happy with a lot of what they did, certainly on Saturday. But across those six periods, I think they'll be pretty content with what they did. There needs to be enough offense to cover that spread. And with that, you got to make sure you're playing it tight.
Yeah, and we talk about the offense versus defense, and I think to your point there, when you come into a new system and you're trying to get the defensive basics down, it can be sometimes you can just throw an X and O on the board, right, and say, well, positionally, this is where you have to be in this certain situation, and as you described, this is how we handle certain things in our defensive zone. But when you get to the offensive side of things, as much as you can talk about positioning and where you want to be, a lot of that's instincts as well. So it's, what does Grigori Denisenko like to do when he's coming down the right wing side? Does he pass? Does he shoot? And that's just something that guys that are new to the team don't have a lot of experience with, whereas if you have guys that have been here, you can build that chemistry. You know each other's tendencies and what you're prone to do offensively, so adding these guys into the fold defensively, things can pick up quicker, but when you get on the rush, when you go offensively, it can take some time for things to build.
I think the way I always like to describe it best, whenever a topic like this comes up, hey, offense is hard to come by, and in any team, any circumstances, it's there's a know-how of scoring goals. There's a natural innate talent, and there's a know-how, which is why sometimes the stars align and a player will have a 30-goal season and he'll never have one again. Mm-hmm. And then you have guys who are just consistently up at the top of the list for goal scoring year after year after year. They have an innate talent for it, along with doing all the right things to make offensive opportunities happen. In this case, give Jonathan Marchessault and Byron Fraze the exact same offensive look. It's exactly the same, all things equal. Jonathan Marchessault might score on it 8 out of 10, and Byron Fraze might score on it 2 out of 10. And that's the difference. So right now the Silver Knights are missing a lot of those guys. They're Sheldon Rempels. Gage Quinney was missing this weekend. Yep. It's looking like he's going to be more of that week-to-week variety. He's going to be out for a while now.
Yeah.
Silver Knights are missing some of those 8 out of 10 options. So you need to play much lower scoring, tighter games. And on top of that, some of the players who are do have the experience of being goal scorers in the American Hockey League. Tyler Benson is a great success in his career when he was a Bakersfield Condor. He's had a good season this year, but it's been more of a playmaking role for him. He's a guy, okay, we need more offense. Who are the veteran guys we can lean on? Benson, Denisenko, just a couple of guys that are going to have to make up a little bit of that gap.
And you talk about playing low-scoring games. I think, obviously, they did a much better job of that on Saturday, only allowing a couple of goals to Colorado. But even as you look forward to the weekend against Tucson, that's a team that they like to play that style a little bit, too. They like to rely on Matthew Valolta, get out to a lead, and let him shut the rest of the game down. So when you look at this Tucson team, yeah, they're third in the division, but they have an exactly even goal differential, 146-4, 146 again. So this isn't a team like the Firebirds that is going to jump on you and look to score 7 goals a night. They win in a different way, and it's going to be similar to the way that the Silver Knights are going to look to win on over the weekend as well. So it's probably going to come down to who can get to that identity first, and that first goal then becomes that much more important to getting out to that lead.
Roadrunners are 22nd in the league in goals per game. They are 13th in the league in goals against per game. Again, as you mentioned, nothing spectacular in either direction. And part of what's been surprising, I think, for a lot of teams this year to watch is that they don't really look that different than Roadrunners teams of the past. If anything, some of those Roadrunners teams had, Michael Carconi, Dyson Mayo in the past. Some of them you'd look on paper and say, this might be a stronger team. Mm-hmm. But this year they're finding ways to win and to win all the time. And to kind of drive your point home, Justin, this is a team that the record for the Tucson Roadrunners is 29-17-3. 29-17-3. They are 24-1-1 when they score first. 24-1-1. So if you're 24-1-1 when you score first, and you're 29-17-3 overall, that means when you score first, you win.
You win the game.
And when you don't score first, you lose. And Matthew Valolta has the highest workload of any goaltender in the American Hockey League this year. He's been very strong for them, and of course fans will remember him, if not from the prior meetings with Tucson this season, then from the Ontario Reign in years prior. But he's having a very, very strong season. But that is what they do, Justin. They get out to a lead, and then they protect that lead.
Yep.
And they'll beat you 2-1. They'll beat you 3-2. They're not looking for 6-1 outcomes. They are a team that, as Ryan Craig mentioned tonight, it's hard to play hockey. It's hard to win when you're chasing the game.
Yep.
Their entire model is around, we will never chase the game.
And one thing that's really impressive, too, is that you can say, certain instances, maybe they get to a tie game, or you know, maybe they're getting to overtime and they're picking up points in the coin flip of overtime. They played 6 overtime games this whole season. That's the fewest of any team in the AHL. So we talk about closing out games. It's not, okay, let's just get to overtime and Matthew Vellalto will make a couple of saves and we'll get a fluky goal. No, it's we're going to get the lead and we're going to shut you down and you're not getting any points tonight. We're going to take both of them and we're going to win in regulation. So it's supremely impressive what they've been able to do in terms of just shutting down games as of late and grabbing these wins.
One of those overtime games was against the Silver Knights. That was back on November 26th. Again, just to drive home the point of the kind of games we can probably anticipate this weekend, Silver Knights have played Tucson 4 times. A 3-2 loss, a 3-2 overtime win, a 4-2 win that I believe had an empty net in it in Tucson, and a 3-2 loss. These are going to be tight margin games you can anticipate. Now, for the Silver Knights, again, if defense and goaltending is going to be critical, Yuri Patera and Isaiah Seville have been outstanding, and the blue line, they're hoping, might get another boost this weekend. Dyson Mayo's back in. He was suspended last weekend for 2 games for a hit on Cole Lind, so bringing him back is already massive. And Jake Bischoff, who's been out for several weeks, had been skating in the red non-contact jersey. He is now skating as a regular participant in practice, and they'll practice again tomorrow before the weekend comes. So I don't know for a fact that Jake Bischoff is back in the mix, but he is certainly close.
Yeah.
And when you do get him back, that gives you a blue line, presumably, of, for the moment, Korzak, Bjornfoot still on his conditioning loan. We'll see where that goes. But Korzak, Bjornfoot, Bischoff, Mayo, Chayka, Ahak, all on the ice together right now in practice. And that is what needs to be the stalwart portion of the team going into this weekend from the goal line out.
Yeah, and I think that's the part of the team that has to carry them, right? And the goaltending is going to be there. Yuri Patera and Isaiah Seville, they're more than capable of making the saves when need be. But I think, you know, also not only adding Mayo and Bischoff, but just having that NHL experience with Korzak and Bjornfoot up front too, just to have a second pair now behind them that can you can rely on if you're head coach Ryan Craig, to where, you know, if it is one of those late game situations and you do find yourself with a 2-1 lead over Tucson maybe late this weekend, that you can throw 4 guys out there that you can really rely on and then try to shut down the rest of the game. So really important to get that blue line back, especially when up front things are so ravaged right now offensively for the HSK.
And again, as Ryan Craig has mentioned all year, having players with an opportunity, a chance to step into a role that wouldn't ordinarily be theirs and see what they do with it, that's significant. Daniel D'Amato's done a good job with that this year, for sure. But if you look at the special teams conversation for the Silver Knights is so interesting. They are the number one power play in the American Hockey League. They are the number 4 penalty kill in the American Hockey League. They're on the outside looking in right now, and part of the reason for that is, you know, first of all, hats off to Ryan Craig, Brent Kissio, and Jamie Hewer, because they are obviously designing things systematically that with a dramatic rotating cast of characters, the power play still produces. Mm-hmm. The penalty kill still has success. And that is keeping the Silver Knights in striking distance, because at 5-on-5 this season, they're currently minus 52 at 5-on-5. By my record keeping, if I'm off by 1 or 2, fine, but I'm not off by much, if at all. Minus 52, and that tells you that, okay, 5-on-5 has been a bit of a challenge. The special teams are getting it done. And it also kind of feeds into the thought of, okay, if we're going to have rotating people every week and 6 guys up and 6 guys down, okay, whoever we have down here, we can construct a power play that can be dangerous, that can create opportunities, and we need some finish. And Sheldon Rempel's had a phenomenal 2 months when he's been here doing just that. Same with the penalty kill. Okay, whoever we have in, we're going to teach them our structure. We're going to be, you know, making high percentage, low risk plays on the kill. We're going to have success. 5-on-5, when the lines are in a blender every other day, well, that actually might be a little harder to find that cohesion again.
Yeah, and 100%. And, you know, it's been really impressive, the fact that, as you mentioned, we've had such a rotating cast of guys that have come in, and it's been a seamless transition for the most part on both ends. But, you know, I think for the power play too, we saw at the beginning of the year, they were getting a lot of opportunities to score, and they were drawing some more penalties, and that slowed down as of late. Of course, things are going to even out over the season. I think they were averaging 6 or 7 opportunities a game there in January for a little bit, so they expected it was going to come down a little bit. But I think one of those things at that time as well that head coach Ryan Craig was talking about is that, you know, you have to play a certain way at 5-on-5 to get those opportunities. It's not just going to come to you if you're getting a game like Friday where you get 15 shots on goal, you have to be in the offensive zone, getting things done, getting in on the forecheck to start to draw some of those penalties, and we'll see if things pick up offensively for the Silver Knights, then that leads to more opportunities on special teams.
Where this also can factor in, the Silver Knights are the third least penalized team in the American Hockey League. Tucson is most. Mm-hmm. Tucson is more penalized than any other team in the AHL this season, 17.2 PIMS per game on average. So hopefully the Silver Knights can take advantage of something there. But, you know, it is interesting. I haven't actually looked into this, Justin. I don't have the research in front of me, but I'd like to peruse it. I have felt of late, it feels like there's less penalties the last couple of weeks or so. And that can just depend on, the Silver Knights being the third least penalized team in the game. Why does it feel like there's no penalty minutes? Well, there just aren't in the games that we're watching every day. But at the same time, as long as the game isn't getting out of hand, and the referees need to step in, I do wonder if there is a little bit of a tendency where in the playoffs they put the whistle in their pocket altogether. Mm-hmm. Getting to March, 20 games left, 15 games left. Does that mentality for officials start to creep in a little bit? We'll insert ourselves if we have to, but we're not looking to give out five power plays a game like we saw pretty regularly in October and November.
Yeah, and, you know, of course the referees do their best at making sure they call what they see and trying to keep things as even as they can. We had a fun anecdote, Gary Lawless last year on the radio talking about the marbles. He said some of the refs have marbles in their pockets and they take one out on each side to make sure, okay, how many do I have left in each pocket for each team to know how many penalties I've called on each side. But, you know, to your point as well, trying to do a little bit more of a job in keeping things even by calling two penalties aside rather than five or six.
You know what Gary calls marbles? I have a buddy who calls it. I thought it was pretty clever. He calls it ref equity.
Which
is to say, if it's the third period and you've had the last three power plays, buckle up because you're getting called for something at some point in the last five or six minutes. So anytime you've had two or three power plays and you're feeling, all right, this is good. We've got a chance to grab hold of the game. Just be aware.
Uh-huh.
Ref equity. The whistle's coming. It's coming
your way.
But for the Silver Knights, special teams has been a great strength, and it will need to be because, again, the Silver Knights hope to have Jake Bischoff back soon. He's a regular participant in practice, so that's very good news for the Silver Knights. We'll see how it pertains to this weekend. Adam Cracknell is getting closer, but he's not that close. He is not yet a participant in practice. Gage Quinney is looking like he's going to be in that week-to-week conversation, and Christopher Setoff is as well. So those are players that it looks like the Silver Knights will not have at their disposal in the very near future. They'll have to find some other solutions with some of the players who have gotten that opportunity to step up. Bear Hughes, the latest who was called up from the Savannah Ghost Pirates earlier today. We'll see how he factors into the weekend as well. We'll step out, but when we come back, we're joined by Silver Knights defenseman Dyson Mayo. Tells us about a really strong season that he's having, and also, like we said, it's 1 year since he became a member of the Golden Knights organization. How's that year been? We'll find out. Dyson Mayo on the other side, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here with you on 1230 The Game, the Henderson Silver Knights Radio Network.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is
HSK Today.
Welcome back into HSK Today. Justin Russo and Brian McCormick here with you on this Wednesday afternoon, and we are delighted to now be joined by Silver Knights defenseman Dyson Mayo. Dyson, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How about you?
Doing great. And, you know, for you, it's now 1 year and 6 days since you became a member of this organization, a member of the Henderson Silver Knights. So taking a look back over the last 371 days, how has it been for you over the first year?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. I mean, obviously, I was surprised when I got traded and disappointed because I'd spent so long in Arizona. But I mean, out of all the places to get traded to, I think this was probably the best option. So yeah, we're enjoying it here. I mean, the city's awesome. The fan support's amazing. I mean, the best I've seen in the AHL. So it's been a great time.
Well, Dyson, obviously you were with the team last spring. You played in 17 games with the Silver Knights before the season came to an end. But because you spent so long as a member of the Coyotes organization, I would imagine that when you came back in October, it still didn't necessarily feel like home. Did it feel immediate, or has this season still been a journey of getting completely acclimated to living in Vegas?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was a little different. I mean, when we came here last year, we lived in Summerlin, and now we're living down in the Henderson area. So, again, it was another change. And then just kind of going to camp with all new coaches. I mean, I hadn't interacted with the Golden Knights coaches yet, so that part of it was different. I mean, going to camp in Arizona for 7-8 years straight, like you get familiar with it, you get comfortable. So coming into that new new setting, definitely a change, but definitely feeling more settled now. I mean, we're enjoying it, and it's a great city to live in.
Well, as we look forward to the Tucson Roadrunners this weekend, are there still some connections and some old friends that you're looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Still a few connections there. I mean, I have great relationships with the coaching staff there and the equipment guys and all that. But as far as player goes, I know a few of them still, and it's always weird playing against them because he played with them for so many years. But I've kind of played against them enough now that I'm used to it.
You know, there are some new faces with Tucson this season, Dyson, but there's still a large basis of last year's roster that is still playing at Tucson Arena, and they're having a terrific season. They're fighting for the top two spots in the division. I mean, from afar, can you put your finger on what they're doing so well this year that maybe they didn't tackle in prior seasons?
Yeah, I think just they have that same core there, and I think just being another year older has helped them a lot. And I mean, they play a hard game. They play with a lot of speed, so they've been successful with that. And then their goalie's been playing really well too, so that's a boost for them. And then they signed some older guys during the off season too, so I think that's been helpful. And kind of just sometimes everything just kind of clicks. So happy for them being since I know so many of them and have connections with them, but at the same time, we want to beat them coming into this weekend. We need these points as well.
Well, we're at Dyson Mayo. Dyson, I was listening to Ryan Craig earlier today. He was speaking to someone, and he kind of described it as, you know, our playoffs start now with 20 games left. Obviously, there's a gap to make up between yourselves and the seventh spot, at least in the Pacific. Does that the mentality ring true throughout the locker room, that you guys are starting to treat every game now as basically postseason mentality?
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of similar territory to where the team was last year when I arrived. So hopefully we can learn from what happened last season and grow from that and kind of be stronger down the stretch here. I mean, it's tough when you look at our roster. We have a lot of guys missing, but at the same time, all teams go through a stretch like this at some point in the season. I mean, might not be as extreme as we're going through, but it's a great opportunity for guys getting called up to get these looks, and then as well for guys that have been here all year to take on a bigger role. So it's just a challenge that everybody needs to take head on.
When you talk about guys that are missing right now from this roster, when you play in the game and as a guy that's a veteran on this team, is there extra pressure, of course, to, you know, take on a bigger role yourself and do a little bit more on the ice? Or do you feel like when you start to extend yourself, that's where you might get into a little bit of trouble and you just have to try to play your role out there?
Yeah, I think it's a good way of putting it. I think that you can look at it from both ways. I think you definitely need to step up a little bit, but you don't want to get too out of control. You need to, at the end of the day, just do your job and trust that these other guys that are getting their opportunities or first games or whatnot, they're gonna do their job as well. But yeah, there's a bit more responsibility there to kind of help them out. As a lot of them are seeing new situations that they haven't seen, so I think that's an important aspect of it.
Dyson, with that same thought, you know, it's been 47 games this season for you. This is, you could argue, your best statistical AHL season. You have 16 points. You've scored 4 goals. You've been used in all different situations. What can you attribute this campaign to? Is part of it the fact that you have been stepping up into a lot of, whether it be offensive situations, penalty kill, lead, what have you? Is it because you've been called on that way that you produce the way you have?
Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. I mean, we've had, seems like, such a big turnover on the back end, whether it's due to guys getting called up or injuries. So I've definitely been thrown into a lot of different roles throughout the year, and I think that's just helped grow my confidence. And at the same time, I realize that when we're shorthanded with players, I mean, I need to step up a little bit, and I think I've been trying to do that by creating more offense, and it's been working out so far.
You know, obviously, Dyson, you weren't able to play in the last couple of games over the weekend against Colorado. Back in the lineup against Tucson this weekend, but I wonder for you, having that opportunity to, you know, kind of look at things from afar and to see things from an outside perspective, does that give you any new perspectives heading into this weekend in terms of what you want to do?
Yeah, I think just watching the games over the weekend, I think obviously the first game didn't go the way we wanted to, but you look at that second game, and I mean, we created enough opportunities, so I think that just should give our group and confidence going into this weekend. Like, Colorado is probably one of the hottest teams in the AHL right now, and we could have easily, that outcome of that game could have easily been different. I mean, if we put one or two in on the power play with the opportunities we got, like, could have been a tie game going into overtime. So I think that's just a big confidence booster. It should be, at least for our team, to know that even though we're shorthanded, like we can play with these teams.
You know, Dice, I wonder this because I've got the image in my head playing now. You know, you're unavailable this past weekend. You're not on the trip, so you're at home. Usually, if you guys aren't in the lineup at the Dialon Center, we see your suit and tie, you're in the team box or whatever. You know, you're there in a working capacity. When you're at home like that, I wonder if it's one of the few instances where you actually get to behave like a fan. Did you have the game on or the radio on, a beer, a sandwich on the couch with the kids? Like, what does that seem?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was definitely a fan. I had the game on the TV. I mean, I still had to be a dad at the same time, so I wasn't able to watch it as intently as I would at the rink. But I had it going and was watching as much as I could. But yeah, still at the same time, I had to be a dad, so the kids kept me busy.
Well, Dyson, and we're with Dyson Mayo. Curious, you know, you talked about how the power play could have been the difference this past weekend against Colorado, and especially a tight game on Saturday. The power play has been so good. It's first in the league. And that's with all the change in personnel throughout the season. It's maintained that level. The penalty kill is now up to fourth. It's been a challenge for the guys at 5-on-5 this season. But, I mean, can you attribute to anything why the special teams have been so successful, no matter who's gone out there?
Yeah, I think just a commitment to the details, what the coaches want from us. I mean, I think no matter who's on the ice at that time, they understand what the job is, what their role is out there, and they follow through with it. So, I mean, if we could just roll that over to 5-on-5 as well, I think we could be a really successful team. I mean, if you look at other teams that have this type of success on the special teams, like, we should be a playoff team. So that's on us to figure out the 5-on-5 part. But yeah, I think especially the power play, like, it's been unreal this season. Fun to watch. They move the puck so well, and I think I think most of those guys are probably up in the NHL right now. The hit contributed a large part to that, but it's a great opportunity for other guys that are getting these looks to show that they can either contribute on a power play or run the power play themselves. So it's a good opportunity.
Well, while you're entering the lineup this weekend, we also, no official timeline, but we expect Jake Bischoff to be back very soon with his team. Can you just talk about what it means to have the captain back in the fold with you guys?
Yeah, it'll be huge. I mean, he's brings such a presence on the ice. He's so steady back there. I mean, a guy blocks more shots than I've ever seen anyone block. So, I mean, he's steady. He's talkative out there. He just brings a calming presence to the back end. So, if we get him back this weekend, that'll be a huge boost for our back end. And, I mean, we have guys like Korzak and Bjorn Fort too now. So, with everybody in the lineup this weekend, if that's the case, then I think I like our back end. I think it'll be on us to kind of lead the way for us this weekend.
We're at Dyson Mayo. Dyson, you've played 8 seasons of pro hockey now, but I'm sure no player ever considers himself to be a finished product. You know, after practice, when you're talking with Jamie Heward, when you've got those windows of time to go off on your own and work on some things, what are the elements of your game that you focus on the most to improve throughout a season?
It kind of seems like it changes throughout the season. You go through stretches where you realize, oh, I need better stick positioning, or I need to be better on managing the puck on the blue line. So it's always just areas of game that you're kind of reviewing after a game, and you realize that you need to work on because it's a trend that keeps popping up. So, I mean, Huey's really easy to work with. He's always approachable, and he's obviously played a lot of pro hockey, so he's very knowledgeable in that aspect. But, yeah, I mean, I think from, like you said, year 8, but the game's seems like it changes every year, so you just have to kind of try to keep up and make sure you're working on all your skills, because it's always, all these young guys are coming in so skilled and so fast, so you gotta manage that.
Well, we've talked so much about the guys that are missing at the Henderson level, but of course a lot of those guys are with Vegas right now contributing with the VGK, and I wonder for guys like Mason Morelli, Sheldon Rempel, Brendan Brisson that are getting their really first cracks at NHL opportunities, as someone who's had some NHL time, what have the conversations been like between yourself and some of those guys as they embark on their NHL journeys?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's exciting for them. You know, I haven't talked to them too much yet, but I just kind of send them texts here and there to congratulate them and tell them to keep going. I mean, obviously we miss them here, but we're happy and hope that they can stay up for as long as they can, because it's a different experience up there. You want to enjoy it and savor it as much as you can, because you never know how long it will last. So that's one message to get across to them.
We're with Dyson Mayo. You know, Dyson, you mentioned a little bit earlier your kids. You have young children. And, you know, the American Hockey League, sometimes I feel like it'd be a little even more unpredictable than the National Hockey League. The road trips can be less glamorous. You could get called up at any time. You know, it's not as easy to plan for everything as it might be at the NHL level. So, you know, this is a team now that has a few more guys with kids than last year's team did. Of course, Adam Cracknell, Byron Fraze. What's it like being a young dad or a dad of young kids when you're playing in the American Hockey League?
For the most part, I think we get more time at home than the NHL. It doesn't seem like you may have longer road trips, but your home stretches are longer. It seems like you're not kind of in and out all the time. So,
right.
It's fun though. It's especially when there's other kids on the team. I mean, you see your kids interacting with the other kids and at the hockey games cheering, and I'll try to bring them out to the AFC there, the practice rink, and get them on the ice after our practices as much as I can. So it's kind of just, it's fun to see them grow and develop and learn to love the game.
You scored the teddy bear toss goal. Did you have to explain to your kids that the bears were not for them?
Yeah, they were out there actually throwing some bears on the ice with the help from my wife, so they had fun with that. They were excited. I think they convinced her to keep two bears themselves, though.
You know, Dyson, I always get a kick out of it when there's those organic fan interactions or those trends that take on from a fan base. And the example I have is when Matt Marks, who's the PA voice at the Dollar Loan Center, anytime he says your name, it's Dyson Mayo, and then you just hear 5,000 fans scream it back to him. Do you hear that? Are you aware that that's a thing?
Yeah, no, I definitely hear that. All the guys hear it, and they have a good time with it in the dressing room. So it's fun though. It makes me smile every time. I mean, I've never had a fan base do that for me, so it's a unique experience and one that I'm grateful for.
All the guys in the locker room are jealous. We're gonna have to come up with one for theirs. But no, yeah. That's yours. That's yours. Well, before we let you go, Dyson, just one last thing. Again, it is a big weekend against Tucson coming up, but also for you guys, as points are so important. It's a five-game homestand. You guys have been on the road for all of February, practically. How important is it? Now, you want to win every game, of course, but to take advantage of this five-game window to give you guys the jump start that you'll need.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, kind of falling out of the playoffs here the past couple of weeks, so these games are huge. I mean, they're all against divisional opponents, like most games are. So they can be potential big swings in the standings if we can get these wins and start climbing back in and bring other teams down. So definitely huge games, and especially being at home, I don't think we haven't done enough this year to take advantage of the home ice. So I think that's important for us.
Dyson, we really appreciate your time. Great insights as always, and we look forward to watching this weekend.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That is Silver Knights defenseman Dyson Mayo, who certainly was missed this past weekend. And it's amazing how a player that, as we mentioned, Justin, joined the organization just barely over a year ago, how incredibly important he's been this year. And that is when the team's at full strength roster-wise or when they're missing a handful of guys. You know, I'm not going to say his role doesn't change, but his role never minimizes. It's just a matter of whether he's doing, you know, 25-minute a night work or if he's got a bigger role than that. But he's just been so consistent all season.
Oh, yeah, and on both ends as well. You mentioned it to him there, the production he's out on the offensive side of things, 16 points, a career high for him in the AHL. So, just the consistency that he brings, the steadiness that he brings on the back end, where you just know what you're going to get out of him every single night, and you know you're going to get some good hockey out of him, some sound hockey, smart hockey. So just a guy back there you can trust, you can throw out there, and you know exactly what you're getting in Dyson Mayo, and a huge piece to get back in the fold this weekend.
And he's got the inside book on what the Tucson Roadrunners are capable of coming into this weekend at the Dollar Loan Center. You know what we didn't ask him about, and he's probably thankful that we didn't, because, I mean, do all professional hockey players, if they're Star Wars geeks, do they want people to know?
That's a good question.
I don't know if he is or isn't, but I don't know if he'd want to hide it or not. It's not a spot we're going to put him on. It's not this weekend anyway, but on March 9th, there will be a battle of Jedis and Rebels at the Dollar Loan Center. Star Wars Night has the Silver Knights welcome the Abbotsford Canucks. Again, that is March 9th at the DLC. Star Wars Night tickets are available. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com. We'll hop out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of trade deadline fun, NHL and AHL news and notes. It's straight ahead on HSK Today. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on 12:30 of the Game, the Henderson Silver Knights Radio Network.
This young man has had a very trying rookie season. What with the litigation, the notoriety, his subsequent deportation to Canada, and that country's refusal to accept him.
Brian McCormick.
Justin Russo here with you. Great to have Dyson Mayo with us in our last segment. If you didn't catch it, don't worry. All these episodes are podcasted. You can find them on lvsportsnetwork.com, lvsportsnetwork.com, so that you know everything there is to know pertinent to your HSK daily lives. Well, for the Silver Knights, we mentioned it's a five-game homestand upcoming. They will have two against Tucson this weekend, and then next Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Bakersfield Wednesday, Abbotsford Friday and Saturday. And for the Silver Knights, one of the benefits of the schedule to come, it's all challenging matchups for sure. The only non-divisional games that they have remaining later in March, March 22nd and 23rd, if I remember correctly, will be in Milwaukee. But for the Silver Knights, it's all teams ahead of them, which is, obviously you're going to be playing teams that are playing well. The only team that had been stumbling and kind of spiraling a little bit was the Ontario Reign, but they've kind of righted their ship a little bit. They are 3-0-1 in their last four, scored 8 goals last night, so the Reign look like they've righted themselves. Point is that there are no soft gaps in the schedule yet, but at the same time, if you're trying to make up ground on teams, what do you want? You want to play those teams, so yeah, they'll have that at their disposal. Yeah. And if you look at last night, again, as we mentioned, 8 goals for Ontario and an 8-2 win over San Jose. Just to give you a sense of where the math is now, Silver Knights are 8th. Top 7 teams get in. Silver Knights are 6 points behind Bakersfield. Bakersfield has 5 games in hand, and the Silver Knights are now 8 games behind Ontario. Ontario still has 1 game in hand. So for the Silver Knights, sometimes I think, Justin, we get to this time of year, like, okay, are you guys scoreboard watching? Are you standings watching? Human nature, of course, you know, curiosity, they're going to be looking, but it's not a matter of a horse race like that right now. For the Silver Knights, don't worry about the scoreboard watching. Yeah. You got to win. You got to start putting some wins together.
Yeah, and of course, as you mentioned, a blessing and a curse, right? Of course, you'd love to have San Jose 10 times down the stretch and pick up some points, but at the end of the day, they have competition in front of them. Bakersfield next Wednesday, namely, that they're going to face, and double the points on the line. You know, those 4-point swings that we talk about all the time where you don't have to scoreboard watch if you play the teams that are ahead of you. You can right. take care of your own business right there, and the Silver Knights have that opportunity. And, you know, of course, the Condors in proximity are the closest team to the HSK, but they still have games in hand on everyone in the division still. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say where they're really going to end up falling when all things are said and done. They could be third or fourth by the time we get to the end of the season. But for the HSK, as you mentioned, you just have to focus on playing one game at a time, playing your game, and you know, hey, even as you brought up to Dyson there about jump-starting this run over the next 5 at home, even if that's to start, you know, picking up 8 points on one night, or, you know, just slowly ramping things up with how many guys are out of the lineup right now, you just have to find a way to get some points on the board and eventually start rolling this thing to the end of the season.
And the interest of, again, not going to say controlling your own destiny, because there is help that's certainly needed, but, you know, taking care of what you can take care of, mm-hmm. controlling what you can control. Silver Knights' schedule does have 2 more games against Ontario late, and they have 4 more games against Bakersfield, the first of which will be on Wednesday. So they will have an opportunity to directly impact the teams that they are chasing. Looking at tonight's calendar, the games that most impact the Silver Knights, the Roadrunners, who, of course, we'll see on Friday, they are in Bakersfield tonight. So if you are a Silver Knight fan, not that you want the Roadrunners coming in hot, but they've lost 2 in a row. But it's probably more important for you that Tucson picks up 2 points and that Bakersfield uses up one of those games in hand with nothing to show for it, then regardless of what you're concerned with, the Roadrunners are going to be feeling about themselves when they come in. But it is a game in Bakersfield tonight hosting the Roadrunners. And then the Eagles are in Abbotsford. The Canucks are 9 points ahead of the HSK, so they're maybe at the outer reaches of that realm of the chase. But really, I think Tucson and Bakersfield is what you're probably watching tonight as a Silver Knights fan. As we turn our attention quickly, it is an interesting time of year. We still have time before the trade deadline, but the trade deadline is March 8th. It reminds you that what else can shake up this landscape, Justin, is that the trade deadline can impact a lot of teams, including the Silver Knights. You know, we'll see what happens, what business is done prior to March 8th, but if you look at some of the teams that are really in the thick of those conversations, you look at a Calgary Wranglers team that has been pretty human of late, but how do the Tanev, Hanifin, or as Elliot Friedman has turned to the Tanifin conversation, impact their roster?
Markstrom as well, Dustin Wolf more time.
Absolutely. Do we see a deal that the Vancouver Canucks are adding at the deadline, and they've got to lose some personnel from Abbotsford? Again, and that same thing can impact the Silver Knights as well, but it just 20 games is not a lot of time left for the Silver Knights to make their push, but it can be if some of these rosters are radically altered.
Yeah, 100%. And it's kind of that line where 20 games isn't a lot of time, but as you look, if the Silver Knights were to win both games over Tucson, you know, they rein 4 points back on the Roadrunners, who, as you mentioned, are among the outer reaches of the teams they're trying to chase. But things can change so quickly in the matter of a few games. So when you talk about some of these big players for the Abbotsfords and the Calgarys going away, that, you know, that takes points off the board directly when you have guys that are of that caliber that are then going up to fill some of those spots at the NHL level. So while there aren't a lot of games left, things can change quickly. And even if it comes for something like we saw last year with the loan that Jamel Smith came over from the Silver Knights as well, you never know when something's going to come your way and another player could be added into the fold. So opportunities for the Silver Knights too.
Very good point. And I'll tell you what else is of interest too is if you look at the Golden Knights, obviously, are looking for another cup run. They are in a buying position that can impact the HSK. Mm-hmm. But certainly the Ontario Reign, the Kings are right on the fringe, and after a disappointing stretch, they won 7 of their last 11 now, I think. The Kings, you would imagine, are going to be buying. Mm-hmm. The Edmonton Oilers, you imagine, are going to be buying. So, again, the teams that the Silver Knights are looking at directly are teams that are going to be in the marketplace.
Yeah, that's where you get into the bit of the arms race in the Pacific Division in the NHL, whereas So GMs kind of look around and saying, okay, what's Vancouver going to do? Okay, what's Edmonton going to do? What's Kelly McCrimmon going to do? And it's all kind of a staring contest at some point to say, well, do I need to add? If you just got three new forwards, do I go, you know, pick up, like last year we saw a Barbashev or a Blueger for some depth? So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, from their perspective at the very least, they know they have the core roster here that can do it, right?
Yeah.
So there might not be as much pressure to go out there and get that big fish to put them over the edge, because they know at the end of the day, if they get the guys back that they need, they have the capability to do that.
And it's not always a static evaluation of, okay, I'm looking at my roster. What do I think I need to go and beat this team that I think I need to go through? Well, sometimes it's influenced by, uh-oh, that team went out and got what they needed. I've got to match that, like you said, an arms race, which also can remind us that we keep talking about March 8th. That business isn't all done on March 8th.
No.
This could be upon us even sooner. So certainly be interesting to track and how that might change that AHL playoff picture race. Quick AHL news. We mentioned the Milwaukee Admirals during this program last week. Their winning streak has come to an end. They made it to 19 straight wins, the second longest winning streak in AHL history. And, you know, they were taking so much oxygen and so much attention. Who ended their streak? It was the Grand Rapids Griffins. The Grand Rapids Griffins are 11-0-4 in their last 15. So a little bit of a, hey, what about us going on in Michigan.
And, you know, they squeaked by, I think it was Chicago, the game before that, to get win number 18. And so you start to tell
when it's coming.
You start to see some of that pressure of, like, you just need the weight lifted off your shoulders at some point, where it's just, okay, we need to get this out of the way, lose the game, and then we can move on with the rest of our season. And I think, again, to your point, you saw the Grand Rapids Griffins come in, and they picked up that win. So we'll see how things shake out east. And a lot of good teams out east in the AHL as well. And again, we're not even talking about Hershey, who, I want to say quietly amongst all this, have been the best team and one of the best teams in AHL history.
41 wins for the Hershey Bears, but I'll tell you what else. They're 41-9-3. It's not that they've come down to earth. They're what they've been.
Incredible.
But quietly, 36 wins for the Milwaukee Admirals. I mean, they're I don't say right there, but they're in such a position that if they went head-to-head, that's a pretty even-looking matchup. While at the same time, in our own division, Coachella's won 7 of their last 10. They're at 67 points now, and the Colorado Eagles, who we saw right up behind them, they've won 6 in a row.
Yeah, they've rocketed up, and I brought up during the broadcast over the weekend, when the Silver Knights played the Eagles in January, the Eagles were chasing the Silver Knights in the standings. Now look how high they've climbed. So as a point of how quickly things can change, you just go on a little bit of a run and you can find yourself in a much better position.
And the Silver Knights hope they can go on a run of their own as they start this 5-game homestand. It'll be on Friday night against the Tucson Roadrunners, 7 o'clock puck drop. We're on Vegas 34. Justin and I will be joined by Darren Elliott, and we look forward to that. Special thanks to Dyson Mayo for joining us on today's program. He'll be back in the mix for the HSK this weekend as well. Don't forget pregame coverage for the Silver Knights on Friday night. Also here on 12:30 The Game, Justin Russo will have that for you.
He's Justin. I'm Brian. Great having you with us this Wednesday afternoon. This is HSK Today on 1230 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.